It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. I walk into the studio, leaving the control room where Sean currently sits. And on Pat McAfee, he's got all the prospective starters for tonight's games in the NFL. Preseason week one gets going tonight. And you've got Jordan Love, who's going to play against to be determined. The Steelers, I guess, haven't announced who they're going to start. Luke Altmaier's going against Joe Burrow. Cam Ward against Mac Jones. Jacoby Brissett against Kirk Cousins. So you've got some guys who are expected to start. You also have Anthony Richardson versus Tommy DeVito. So that's not the game I'm talking about. But you got plenty of guys who are actually frontline starters who will be playing week one. That's not the case for the Texans, which really brought into focus what John said to end the show. If you caught that, as we were wrapping up the John and Lance show, he said, go Texans. And really, how dare he? Go Texans. It's Trey Lance versus Davis Mills. The only thing we should care about is anybody who's expected to play week one doesn't get hurt. Other than that, and maybe if Keelan Rutledge, the legend that he is, showcases his dominance, because apparently he could possibly be the next Jason Kelce, but meaner, according to all camp reports, at least his attitude-wise. So that's about as much focus that I'm going to put on that game, at least today. The fact that it is Trey Lance versus Davis Mills just really puts in the focus the lack of care you should probably have, at least as far as really making any determinations about who is good, the what's what of the game. But, you know, if you want to take a look at Keelan Rutledge, he is expected to play. I'm sure there'll be some other starters who aren't clearly the top of the Texans roster out there too. But preseason week one tonight, Texans Chargers. Go Texans. Like, this station doesn't have a lot of guys who are, I would say, pom-pom waivers.
Yeah. Texans so, honk, Astros honk.
It's not really how the station is put together. No. Maybe much to the chagrin of some of you, even though you're still listening. We appreciate it. But it certainly hasn't been, that phrase, go Texans, hasn't been said since the Patriots game, right?
Probably by John Granato.
Yeah, he probably said it before the Patriots game, leading into it. No one said it since, right? This is the first time it's been said as we get going, as we get ever closer to the start of the real season.
It is at least the first time. I mean,
Because who else would have said it?
Not in that way. Like, maybe in a sarcastic way. Like, oh, yeah, here we go. Go Texans.
Go Texans. Yeah. Perhaps.
Oh, Brent Smith.
But as you pointed out, as we were closing it out, you're like, John didn't say that.
No, Granato
didn't. With much feel. He's like, you know what? He realized
it. It looked like he forgot. It looked like he forgot. Oh, yeah.
Go Texans. So the Texans get going. You get your chance to watch your team again tonight.
Guys wearing the uniforms of your team. Yes.
Not many guys who will be playing or you want to play in a game that matters, but some of them are going to be out there. You can enjoy it and see where some of those players who have made the name for themselves in camp. We'll see how they look against a Chargers team that'll be much the same. Not a lot of guys playing who expect to be part of the top 40 guys when it comes down to it in week one. So there that is. As far as the Astros are concerned, they got a win. They got to play at 2:45 in San Francisco. Beautiful day out there. They really leaned into their old National League roots, a 2-1 game where both runs came on sacrifice flies. Particularly the first run was really get them on, get them over, get them in. The other one, Taylor Trammell hit a triple, and then there was a sack fly after that. But you take it. Man, it was like pulling teeth to get out of there with the series win. But you found a way. But if we go back to game one, it took Cam Smith's heroics. Jeremy Pena hasn't had a good run lately. But it took Cam Smith's heroics in game one to get you a win. You had to overcome Drew Gilbert in game one. You lost game two. And then Imai, King, and the rest of that bullpen did what needed to be done because your bats continued to be silent. But as it stands now, after leaving San Francisco, you are a game and a half up on the Rangers because they lost to the Angels. So you'll take it, a 500 road trip, and you get back home against a bad Mariners team. Flat out awful. So despite Jim Bowden's claims that the Astros didn't do enough and he expected the Mariners to get it together, wrong, Jim. I'm not going to use the words that Lance used to describe you, but wrong. The Mariners are terrible. That's a miss on your part, at least as it stands now. I don't need the Mariners getting it together against an Astros team.
Yeah, if I'm Bowden, I'm like, watch this series.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Don't.
This is what I've been pointing to. But the Mariners, almost since he said what he said, have showed themselves to be atrocious. They've lost six in a row now. They're 9 games below 500 and 5.5 back of the Astros. So this series could really bury them or put them right back in it. And I'm sure they're looking at it that way, as we either get ourselves back in this race or we say goodbye to any real chances of competing this season as far as making the playoffs. So they lose to the Yankees 10-5. The Astros get their win. A good day all around for the Astros, as the two teams closest to them in the race go down while they get a win in that one. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing that came from it was the Imai pitch that went viral. The slider going in reverse that caught people's eye. He's been good out of the pen. It is not what he was signed for. I don't believe that'll be what the Astros lean into, at least if he is an Astro next year. He does have that opt-out. I can't imagine him exercising it, but he can do it if he decides he doesn't want to be an Astro anymore. Him being a guy, at least for now, who can thrive in a role is great, because we haven't been able to find that role where he could thrive in throughout the year. But when you look at this starting rotation, there's every chance that he winds up back in the rotation before the year's over, because Javier Denice, he hasn't really pitched well, which really helps when it comes to our promo. There's a 15-second promo put together where we talk about Javier, and he had a good performance. And Sean, the tag is, do it not against the Angels. And it was getting a little shaky for us. He pitched well in his next start. But since that point, it's been the Javier, unfortunately, that we've become accustomed to. So I don't know how long he's going to be in that rotation, particularly if Imai continues to show himself in the bullpen, show himself to be pretty good in the bullpen. So while I'm not rooting against Javier, I do root for myself too.
Yeah.
That's all.
He can ball out.
Well, that was the point. If he pitches well, then it does make that little 15-second clip, and I think they turned it into the actual segment, into one of the social things for us. It doesn't age well, but at the moment, I feel like we weren't incorrect on asking for more from Christian Javier, and he hasn't been able to provide it in a way that gives you any real confidence. So I think there's still a rotation and influx, and a couple good performances out of the bullpen from Imai may elevate himself back into the rotation.
It's like the Jake Andrews, Keelan Rutledge thing, where it's like, listen, the bar isn't high to get back into the starting rotation.
We are really two appearances away from him not getting out of an inning and giving up two runs.
Yeah.
But since that point, he's pitched six scoreless innings, Sean.
That just kind of happens with Imai. Like, it's his true. Month of June was, like, basically either nine strikeouts in a win or doesn't get out of the first inning.
It's true.
Like that's just that, – I almost think that you just kind of have to accept, like, that's just the Imai that you get. It is, like, the most, like, I don't know, like an NBA role player of, like, he might go 1-for-9, but – some nights he'll also go 7-for-9.
And look, when you pitch him every 9 days or so, then what am I? How can I? While I talk about he may elevate himself, I don't know how you look at it with any real belief that hey, this can translate when he's out there.
Yeah,
like the last time he made an appearance was August 3rd before yesterday.
And his best start or one of his best starts was after the All-Star break where he had like 14 days off and he pitched awesome.
So if we give him a week plus off, then we may have something.
Yeah, or just have him in the rotation every other turn. You skip him.
Like, yeah.
There's plenty of off days to do that.
It's true. So
I don't know. I don't know why he can't do that, but that's
not kinda how baseball works.
Yeah.
So,
but you do an opener and say, okay.
Yeah, Brian King was the opener.
Feels like doing that, but with extra steps, but okay.
Yes, Brian King didn't get out of the first, walked a couple, and gave up a run. But it was the only run the Astros gave up over the course of the nine innings. Had to use a lot of guys to get through it. But Hader came in after following Abreu's sterling inning and closed it out. So 2-1, the win in San Francisco, which is good. When we come back, not that anyone's surprised by this, but the Astros are not heavily featured on a list that would tell you you have a pretty good baseball team. ESPN has a list of, and we'll get to that when we come back. We'll also do another giveaway here. If you have not had your opportunity, or at least not won a spot in the listener to the listener appreciation party, we'll do that again today. So I'll figure out the time. The rules stay the same. Call in with your favorite end of the show sounder, and you're in. And I'll give you the time and the caller and all that stuff coming up here. Do want to remind you about Houston Restaurant Week. Still going on. And it raised $1.6 million for the Houston Food Bank last year. This is your chance to help top that. All you got to do is go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com and eat big and do good. You're going to have opportunities at places that perhaps may have been more expensive at a time, but with Houston Restaurant Weeks coming up or actually going on, the restaurants are looking to help the Houston Food Bank, and the prices are a little less expensive. Find the restaurants that you have an opportunity to go to at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. So that's a good cause. You should get involved, and you'll get good food for your troubles. When we come back, we'll go through the list that doesn't feature many Astros. We'll also talk some Texans, of course. Not preseason stuff, but we always have existential questions about the Texans and really the quarterback. But I did want to get to Kamari Lassiter because big hits all day. He doesn't have the same type of banger. It's not likely going to become a sounder on the show. But he talked with Kevin Clark of ESPN about why sometimes he feels disrespected. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, ESPN put out a list of the top 50 players in baseball. How many Astros do you think are on the list, Sean?
Based off this year?
Sure.
I'll go Yordan, obviously.
He is number 3.
Okay.
You can stop. There's no more.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to decide between Hader and Peña.
No, not an Astro. And I went through the list scrolling. They go through all 50 names. And then I did Command F and typed in Astros to make sure I didn't miss any. And the only Astro mentioned was Yordan.
Wow.
in the top 50 players in baseball, the Astros only have Yordan Alvarez on the list. And when you look at how the team's performed, it's not that big of a surprise, but it certainly illustrates, even if you believe that at their best, Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena and Josh Hader should be on the list, it certainly illustrates the talent leakage on this team. Because at points, you, particularly when the Astros were really going, you could say four or five guys could be considered. When you throw in the pitchers plus position players.
Yeah, or like preseason, it would be like three at minimum.
Every year.
With Yordan, Brown, and then one of Hader and Pena. Like, that's just like, probably who would be on the list. And it's not like Hader's been bad.
No. You know? I don't know what. I don't know what.
Every team has two better players than Josh Hader.
The teams who don't have a top player are the Rangers, the Twins, the Angels, Baltimore, and the Giants, who the Astros had to fight and scrap to win two games against. So I am surprised. I'm sure there are caveats for why certain guys, maybe it's games played. But yeah, Hader, for what he's been, you would think he'd be on the list, but he does not make it.
Because at this point, he's pitched in like 20-ish games. Like that is like a decent workload for a closer at this point.
So all it does is talk about
17 saves. Like
it just talks about, as far as how they got to the 50, they use alleged ESPN experts. And they all gave
so-called.
Yeah, so-called experts. And they gave their rankings and they averaged them all out to create the top 50, and not an Astro beyond Yordan.
You know what this proves?
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
It's true. One top 50 player, and yet still leading the division. I prefer unkillable, but it is what it
is. Cockroaches. Josh Hader, cockroach, according to ESPN. And Ken Rosenthal.
Who is not a VS. No, he is a VSPN. No,
Fox. He's from Fox. Yeah. So the two biggest, I guess, and NBC now, two of the three biggest rights holders, cockroaches.
Well,
Yordan and the cockroaches.
It is
like a band.
It is like Gladys Knight and the Pips. Yordan, frontman, could go solo and be just fine. Just on another team. And the rest of the guys, just supporting members. No one's here for you, Nate Allen, or Nick Allen is actually who it is. Although, you know, he came through yesterday with a sack fly. But we'll take it from Nick Allen.
I thought this was a Stars and Scrubs roster.
It's a star and Scrubs, according to ESPN.
Yeah.
Scrubs. But
sorry, Josh Hader, and a 0.96 ERA. Not good enough,
not
buddy.
Not good enough. Look, Pena struggled,
in the month of
August.
I'm sure Paul Skeens with a 5 ERA. Yeah. Well, arm hurts every time he throws a baseball.
We have really turned on Paul Skeens this week. All it takes is...
Don't go viral.
Yeah, all it takes is us not to believe his significant other saying, we were just regular college kids, and now we've turned on him. You know, hey, what's hey, that velocity goes down. You go down too, Paul Skeens. I'll look and see where he is on the list with a Miz, certainly, above him. Oh, lack of velocity, high ERA, Paul Skeens, above Josh Hader?
Yeah, almost halfway. Like, he's better than Juan Soto?
Slanderous.
What is happening?
Slanderous.
What is this list?
Whatever it is.
Is it literally just like war by this year or something?
They don't give you why they got there, just how, who was involved in creating the list, the so-called experts at ESPN. Whatever, Jeff Passan.
Gutless coward, Tarek Skubal, 21.
I love how he's being positioned. Oh, the best team in baseball wants me, and the Tigers stink? Gutless coward.
Gutless.
He has said, not that Tiger fans care, like, hey, I'll be a free agent. They want to make an offer, I'm more than willing to listen. He has not ruled out a return. Tiger fans scoffing at that. All right, let's get to a couple calls, and then we'll get to some Texans. So, do we believe this guy's name? Does that say Lion up there?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, we've never had a Lion call in, but you want to talk?
It might be Ryan.
I would guess.
Of names that rhyme with Lion.
I would guess, and it is a topic that Ryan likes to talk about, but It says Lion. What's up, Lion?
Hey, what's going on, Deli Belly?
It is.
Hello, Makers.
Ryan, and that's not my name.
Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah, it is Ryan.
It is
yeah.
Ryan.
The Astros are really chasing the fight right now, you know what I mean? But what's your favorite Tom Selleck joint? Mine is Quigley Down Under. I was just wondering. Thank you.
There are some times where random things are said, and then I have to explain it. This comes from the morning show where Lance got into a Tom Selleck wormhole and decided that he needed to do some research. And we found out that Tom Selleck, after being in a baseball movie, turns out he played baseball at USC. Thanks to Lance for that research. We all needed
crack
it.
Crack research.
We all needed it. I'm going to go with Jesse Stone, Lost in Paradise as my favorite Tom Selleck movie. Why? Because I don't know or have any memory of watching Tom Selleck in a movie. I know him as Mr. Blue Bloods. And, of course, Magnum P.I. I can't remember a Tom Selleck movie that I watched. Mr. Baseball, probably, I've seen, but I don't remember anything from it other than he played for a Japanese team who had a uniform that looked exactly like the Dodgers. It just had dragons on it instead of Dodgers. You just go look up Mr. Baseball. I'm sure the Dodgers gave their blessing, but it just is a Dodgers uniform with dragons written on top. Even the hat has a D on it, just a Dragons version of the D instead of L.A. That's it. There it is, Ryan. I don't have a Tom Selleck movie. I don't remember any of them.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through.
I remember him being in that Las. I think of him as a TV guy. I remember him in the Joss Duhamel vehicle, Las Vegas, that TV show with Molly Sims, I believe, as well. And then, as I said, Magnum. Oh, Three Men and a Little Lady. There it is. I remember that movie. Where three bachelors, I believe, had to take care of a kid. And the hijinks that come from three men who don't understand a little girl raising her. Ted Danson, Steve Guttenberg, and Tom Selleck. And then they made it. Three Men and a Baby was the first one. And then that baby grew to be a little lady.
As they do.
I can't believe that movie got a sequel. I don't know what the
And that's like at least top five most successful movie he made.
Of course.
That's...
It got a sequel.
Yeah. He really is just Magnum P.I. and Blue Bloods.
For me, look at all the things he's done. What is something you recognize? Now, there's certainly an age thing going on. People who are older are going to know Tom Selleck for other things. But
he played Monica's love interest.
I do remember that, too. The older. He was a friend of her father, I think.
Or 10 episodes.
I believe Tom Selleck was a friend of Ross and Monica's father, and he wound up dating her.
Dr. Richard Burke.
I think he was their doctor.
Yeah.
When they were children.
Yeah.
Which wasn't, that's not odd, right?
No. I ethically questionable at the very least.
Sure.
Just from a doctor's perspective. Yeah. Never mind the
age gap stuff.
Yeah.
If you care about that
not
sort
great.
Of thing. Yeah. But that's it. Thanks for the call. Eric, you called in about ESPN. If I don't know what that was about. If you want to get back in, you can. The number is 713-780-3776.
It's about bussing Pate. Bussing in Pate. Sorry.
Oh, boy. Yes, that is the name of Josh Pate's new show with the guys who make up Bussin' and the Boys. It's now a college football show called Bussin' and Pate on Campus. If you say it fast enough, it sounds like something else. And as I said to Sean during the break, they could not have me around that show because I would say it in a way that made it sound a certain way. Or I would have been the guy that said, excuse me, guys, there are people like me who are going to make fun of this name until the show no longer exists.
Yeah, because it's hard to hit the and.
When you say bussin' first.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not bussing.
No, it's bussin'. They want you to say bussin'.
So it's bussin'.
And Pate.
I would, if I was Josh Pate, listen. Friend of the station, or friend of John and Lance. Well, John and Lance. And
I don't know if he's a friend.
Apple of John and Lance's eye.
They are more fans. They're stans.
Yeah.
He accepts their praise.
Very successful.
Yes.
I would have been like, can we go with a with?
Bussin' with Pate and the boys on campus. Bussin' with Pate on campus. It's a little better.
I don't know. I like.
For those who.
I would like a reading. Or, you know. Pate and Bussin.
Pate and the Bussin. Pate and the Bussin boys on campus. Whatever it takes to avoid the jokes I will make consistently until the end of time. I'm sure they – maybe that's part of the deal.
Yeah, that's their whole appeal is that they're irreverent.
I just think if you're Josh Pate, you are the one with the bussing going on.
Yeah,
the bussing guys are fine. But if I say it fast enough, it doesn't put Josh Pate in a great situation.
Yeah. Also, these guys have to actually take a bus to all these campuses.
Does he have to? Does he get the jet?
Josh, yeah. No, because it's separate entity. No, well,
It's a they're together. Pate.
Yeah, I think they all have to bus to these, you know, when they go to wherever, Baton Rouge. They have to take a bus to Baton
That's
Rouge.
That's the point, yes. I imagine.
Otherwise, what are you doing? What's the bussing?
I imagine Josh will at least be doing the show on the bus. We'll see if he actually has to travel on that bus. Eric, you want to talk ESPN? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else wants to follow him? Bussing with Eric, 713-780-3777.
Bussing and Eric.
for everyone's sake, 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, we'll get to the Kamari Lassiter sound here. And a surprising, or maybe not so, I don't know if I have the pulse of how Houston fans feel about this Texan season coming up, but we'll get to a poll that was done that ask questions of NFL fans about how they feel about their team going into the 2026 season. But Eric's here. He's got a comment. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I was going on at ESPN. I just heard that they let go of Damian Woody. He was pretty good on the show. And then you got Pat McAfee saying he doesn't like stuff being political, but he's always hanging out with Trump for some reason. And also, why does Mike McDaniel, I guess the Chargers, the former Miami coach, why does he look like he's on cocaine, like a cocaine binger? And Tom Selleck, one of his best movies was Quigley Down Under. It's pretty good. And Heritage Films, I heard they make adult films about your mom, but not your mom, though, but just moms in general. Okay. I would like to see that. I'll hang up and listen.
I think that is the whole – I'm not explaining that commercial. Why do I have to do that? Everyone
yes,
knows.
Yes, that is the joke.
Yes, why am I doing that? Stop it. I'm just telling myself to. I don't know that Mike McDaniel's on coke. You say it looks like that. Hey, that's your impression. Like, he has spoken openly about – he had not a drug issue, but he had an issue with alcohol while he was a Texans assistant. In fact, him losing his job here, he says, played an important part of his recovery. So I'm not going to throw cocaine user on Mike McDaniel.
He's also not high energy enough.
No, he's very laid back. In fact, for some people, too much so when it comes to when he was an NFL head coach and now the OC. Yeah. There's maybe you're talking about the viral video that he had.
He dresses like he sells cocaine.
Okay.
But
that is your opinion?
He dresses like he...
He
Someone
could.
Who could.
Who could. Okay, sure. But there's a video of him being wowed by a Justin Herbert throw, because that's what Justin Herbert does. He wows you with his arm.
He does.
Now, will he be wowed by Justin Herbert in a playoff game? Unlikely, because no one is, if we just go through his history. Someone who is a bigger Justin Herbert hater than me, yes, they exist, pointed out that if you look at the strength of schedule for Herbert's teams, they only make the playoffs when they've got a soft schedule, which would make sense. Easier schedule, you win more games. There's some other context there, the talent on your own team. But apparently, if Herbert's teams aren't facing like the 19th or worst strength of schedule in football, you can forget about the playoffs for him. I don't know where it stands this year for the Chargers.
Oh, I guess he's made it three times.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's only made it twice. Yeah.
I think it was
the year before – The time he lost to the Texans.
Last year with the Patriots.
Yeah, and then the year before.
And then when they blew that game against the Jags. So if you are someone buying into the Chargers, just take a look at their projected strength of schedule. Now, it could all change if there's an injury, if there are injuries to their to their opponents. Who knows how it goes? Or a team is better than they were expected to be. But that's something to take a look at if you're looking at Chargers win totals and potential playoff appearances. Okay. What else did he mention? Damon Woody, yeah, we talked about it yesterday. He was let go by ESPN. And you have your own thoughts on McAfee, but Eric, as do others. But I think the bigger issue is, no matter where his political leanings are, he's making a lot of money. He's getting paid a lot of money at ESPN. They are leaning into their big names. And if you have been there for 15 years, it's actually not a sign of security, because I imagine you're getting raises as it goes on. So at some point, they're going to look at that balance sheet and go, how much is a certain high-priced former athlete costing us in comparison to, we could just throw another guy there who hasn't been around as long.
Yeah.
And we'll get the same return. I mean, we talked about it. Clark, Woody, out. Guys who have been around ESPN, work for that company for a long time, former athletes. So you imagine their price tag is higher than just an analyst who comes over from NFL Network as that merger happens. So that's the business, unfortunate. But Damon Woody was very complimentary of ESPN in his comments about being let go. It's just business, I guess.
Chargers' ninth hardest schedule in the league.
Oh, if you go by history, take the under on Justin Herbert. And I already said that, but that had more to do with Madison Beer. Man's in a new relationship, looking all googly-eyed, sitting on the practice field. Of course.
Canoodling
even. Her running her hands through his hair. We also saw, well, it happened.
It was.
She was doing it. She was running his hands, her hands through her
Armageddon.
Hair. Armageddon. Yeah. who's the Steve Buscemi in that? on the Chargers.
Jim Harbaugh.
Probably. But Joe Burrow was doing it too. Now, his girl, Olivia Ponton, wasn't running her hair or her hands through his hair. But they were sitting on the practice field after a practice, just hanging out. So it happens quite a bit.
Does. I saw a Jackson Dart one, too.
Yeah, like, it happens.
Now everyone's just taking that picture.
Yeah, it's just, you think it's a trend now. Burrow was like a telescopic lens. He was way on the other side of the practice field.
Yeah, I think now it's like, I assume.
Every media member's trying to get that picture.
Yeah, and I assume they let friends and family on the field.
Yeah, the time. Particularly at training camp, yeah.
And so now it's like let's take the picture and then, you know.
If our quarterback.
Ravens fans can be like, this is y'all's quarterback.
It helps if you have a internet famous girlfriend.
It does help.
Which is Joe Burrow's girlfriend. Madison Beer apparently has a music career.
I saw the music video that Josh Herbert was in.
Yeah, I've seen
Justin
it.
Herbert.
I've heard the music. I'll just say it's not for me, but it is for some. She's got enough followers to continue having a career.
Yeah, pop star.
Yeah, you said something along the lines of alleged pop star.
Yes, alleged pop star.
Yes, yeah. I don't know.
Pop star. She makes pop music.
She makes pop music. I don't know if she's a star.
That is the problem. We don't have a word for if you make pop
music.
It's
much like another star that starts with a P. Are you really a star? Or are you just an actress?
You're just, yeah.
Are you a pop artist? Are you a pop artist or a pop star?
Yeah.
Because I'm of an age where I know a pop star when I see it, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, even Jessica Simpson was a pop star
at
a time.
She had a run.
Mandy Moore, I mean, she had the one song, but still elevated herself to a pop star. Madison Beer, pop star? I mean.
The Justin Herbert of pop stars?
Well.
Good on paper.
If she has to go up against Olivia Rodrigo and Taylor Swift, she's out. That schedule gets too tough. Too tough. Hell, I'll take Zara Larsson over her. Just watch Zara Larsson dance. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what else he said, honestly. He said a lot.
There was a lot in there.
He mentioned Quigley down under.
Once you get past two, you're already stretching us being able to talk about and then remember.
Sure. He said
he could talk like five.
Yeah, he said Quigley down under. Ryan mentioned it. We'll go to break when we come back. We'll get to what Kamari Lassiter said about feeling disrespected. We'll also tell you when you can call in to win a spot in the Listener Appreciation Party. I keep going back and forth in and out. At the Listener Appreciation Party, August 28th at St. Arnold, another spot given away. We'll tell you when to call when we come back. All right, we are near the top of the hour for hour two. So we'll play this sound from Kamari Lassiter and then go to break. But I do want to remind you, or just tell you, at 11:15, caller five at 11:15 wins the listener appreciation party spot. You can bring a guest with you. Or you want to go solo. It's up to you. All you got to do, tell Sean your favorite sounder and be correct. Don't say anything is possible when you know better. That's not the sounder. It has to be a sounder to end the show. And by the way, this show. I don't know what other shows you're listening to that has something that says goodbye for the day. It has to be something from this show and the correct one. You got plenty to choose from. You've heard several this week, but use your own favorite. And if it's unique, like something we haven't heard from someone yet, even better. But that's not really a stipulation. Well, the only stipulation is it's got to be from this show.
There's no way to actually get bonus points, but you will mentally get bonus, whatever that means to you.
You know what? It's not a bonus. At least I don't think it is, but for some reason people do. If you pick something different than anybody else, and it is really your favorite, I'm not asking you to fake it, you'll get a willing hug from me.
Whoa. That might be too big of a prize for us, I'll be honest.
You think there's more that's needed? Considering my how I feel put upon because of the morning show making people hug me. If you say, hey, I'm the guy who, or lady, I don't know who's gonna call in, you know what? I won't Dave Chappelle stiff arm you like he did in that skit when he was walking in slow motion in that video from way back when he put his hands right in your face and said no. You know what? You can come up. Oh, you're that guy. You get a hug. I got a. Let's see. Over under of 2.5 hugs. I think I'm limiting it to like, at most, I'm giving out 3, at most. And I'll save one for you. I don't think it's enticing, but apparently I've got to deal with this at this party there again. So that's all. I'm giving out at most 3.
Yeah. So we've had. I won't say which ones they are, but we have had 5 distinct. Sounders get picked.
Okay.
One got picked 3 times.
Yeah. So pick whatever you want. But I would like to see if we have more diversity as far as our sounders are concerned. Let's get to Kamari Lassiter here. By the way, 11:15 caller 5 for that. Kamari Lassiter was interviewed by Kevin Clark of ESPN. And we know him as, at least we feel like, if not the best second corner CB2 in all of football, he's right up there. In fact, if you go by the rankings of top 10 corners that was released this week, was it by PFF or NFL? I forgot who it was. He was ranked in the top 10 of his corners overall. He was the only cornerback who isn't considered the best cornerback on his own team in the top 10, so that speaks to what he is as a player. A CB1 likely everywhere but maybe 8 other teams if you just look around the league. But he's not just a guy who likes to cover. In fact, he feels a little disrespected if you don't acknowledge this part of his game. Here's Kamari Lassiter with Kevin Clark.
And it's crazy because I was just talking to one of my teammates. I was watching film. I'm like, bro, I feel like it's disrespectful. Like they don't like count me in the run. Like I don't get blocked. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's kind of disrespectful because I'm going to make the tackle. Like unless something drastic happens and I just get shook off by a running back or something, like I'm going to make the tackle. I'm like, they should probably count me in the run.
You know, D'Amico's like, hey, let's have them ignore you. I like a free hitter. If I'm D'Amico, hey, you know what I love on defense? When I got a free hitter who can tackle.
Yeah, let them disrespect you.
Yeah, sometimes you want to get disrespected. You want to come up and be the force player on the run and they don't block you? Great. I love them underestimating you. Maybe it continues to happen, but they just got so many guys. Somebody won't be the focus. You know what? Stingley is willing enough, but if I'm on offense, I'm running at him.
Yeah, let's make him do it.
I know Kamari, in the best way possible in football terms, is nuts.
Big hits all day.
There it is. That's, by the way, that's what his mom said. He carried that from what his mom said as a kid.
The woman who raised him.
Yes. So this is what I'm talking about. If you're an opposing offense, you don't run at the guy whose mom instilled big hits all day into him. I don't know what Derek Stingley's mom said. Just me. I don't know.
Cover them.
Yeah,
cover.
But I know what she didn't say.
Blanket coverage all day.
She didn't say big hits all day. to her son. Run at the cover corner. Who's willing to put his nose into it? Certainly, you can't play on that defense without it.
Yeah,
although,
he's not.
Although Stingley would be, his talent level would allow for him to be a guy who isn't the physical presence that Kamari Lassiter is. You just
Deion Sanders at a little.
Yes, yeah. But more willing than Deion. But if I had a choice, where's Stingley? Why are you identifying him? Oh, not to throw at him.
God, no. I'm crazy.
I'm going to run at him and see if he holds up over the course of 10 outside runs per game. Yeah. Let him be the force player and have my tackle or guard get after him. But people tend to ignore big hits all day. I'm good with it. Keep doing it. Keep getting them. Let them. I expect. We talk about over-unders when I talk about hugs. How many times this year are we going to see Kamari Lassiter do the banging his head with the two fist thing this year? What's the over-under for that?
Like 12?
I mean,
once most games?
He does it off of picks, off of batting balls away.
That is true.
So forget about the physical plays in the run game or tackling guys. He'll do it when he makes a play in the pass game.
I wish they had a stat for
hit
stick. You know, like they had
for pancakes.
Yeah, I see the number of solo tackles he made, 62, which is kind of a lot.
That's
for
a lot for a corner. They keep leaving him unblocked.
But I need to know the big hits all day quotient.
Yeah, how many times has he planted a guy?
Yeah. 17 PBUs, 4 interceptions. Man, okay.
Really,
so
really good.
I undershot it.
Yeah.
Probably like 20.
So big hits all day. Doesn't like you not blocking him. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
He's a force. All right. We'll go to break with that. We'll get to more when we come back. There are some questions asked about CJ Stroud. The same questions I get asked. So I'm not sure about – I don't want to do the contract thing. That's enough. But the question about whether he was – emotionally scarred by the playoff game was asked by a national voice. So we'll get to that in the second hour. You can also join us as well, 713-780-3776. That's also the number you call in with at 11:15 if you want to win those listener appreciation party tickets. We'll be back with hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.